Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the October 24th edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll discuss the commodity markets with Bryce Knorr. He's the Senior Grain Market Analyst for Farm Futures Magazine out of Chicago, Illinois. Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing is here, too, from Champaign, Illinois. And Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, and you are part of our business model. Please do make a nice donation if you can at willag.org. That's willag.org. Hit the Contribute Now button at the top of the page, or just call this number, 217-244-9455. I rather like the $120 a year level.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Let's begin the conversation as usual with your short list of items to discuss. Bryce Knorr of Farm Futures, we'll start with you.
Well, market volatility, it's alive and well. Everything from stocks to soybeans. Also, farmers' supply chain remains vulnerable. We saw that in diesel fuel. It was up more than 30 cents a gallon very quickly this week. And acreage remains in play. And USDA's NAS guy at the Ag Users, or the Data Users Conference, suggested that that may be updated in November. And then China's economic slowdown could affect both the short term, but more importantly, the longer term.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing.
I also had the volatility. I think that's a good one. We've seen it change here a lot in the last 45 days. South American weather, I guess specifically, can we maintain soybean price levels both this year and next year with good South American crop coming on, if we get one? USDA reports, will the crop get bigger as we go along, or have the fundamentals changed?
And finally, Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing.
Well, I don't have a lot to add to that. I like the acreage. I think Bryce talked about that. South America, you know, the bean market this week is on fire. I don't know if I have a lot to add other than what was already suggested.
Okay, Chip, let's stay with you for just a second and the bean market. For Thursday, when we recorded this program, there was a very large export number that came out that really pushed the market much higher in the soybeans. What do you think of that particular number, and can it be maintained?
Well, the exports have been very, very good, no doubt, with China being obviously the dominant buyer of our beans for the last year. So that is the question. That huge export sales number made a lot of people scratch their heads because there wasn't a lot of reported sales over the last week. So some people are wondering if that's part of the trade delegation that was here recently and bought some. Was it a destination switch? A little bit of a head scratcher. We are getting a little bit overpriced, though, and, you know, if you look at South American supplies, particularly from, you know, their perspective, things are a bit cheaper down there. So I don't know. If we keep rallying, you know, the risk is that we're going to get ourselves overpriced relative to supplies out of South America. But for sure, bean demand is really, really good. And I think that's going to be the adjustment that traders make going forward is, do we have to adjust total demand higher? And that's a Chinese question. And that remains to be seen, I think.
Bryce Knorr, I think this plays into the volatility and the marketplace that we're looking at and the factors you're thinking about and maybe larger swings in the market. What is it about the market and volatility that concerns you?
Well, I don't know if it necessarily concerns me, because I think it gives farmers a good opportunity if they can be patient to sell on these up days and to keep chipping away at getting a price established for their inventory. So it's not necessarily a bad thing as long as you can take advantage of it. But certainly we're seeing it just across a wide spectrum of assets. One day it seems to be money flowing in from hedge funds, big speculators, investors, Wall Street types. The next day the money's flowing out. And some days we seem to trade fundamentals. Some days we're trading headlines, whether it's Ebola or people getting shot in Canada. This type of marketing situation can be good. It can also turn very quickly negative if things get too out of hand. We saw that almost happen in the stock market this week.
Well, let me ask each of you, and Bryce, maybe we'll start with you and then we'll do Bill and Chip. Are you feeling more positive this week about the marketplace in general than you did last week or the previous week? And we can do both corn and soybeans. Bryce?
Well, I have mixed thoughts about corn because I can't decide whether 2015 prices are going to help pull up old crop corn or whether old crop corn is going to drag down new crop corn, you know, for next year. I think the jury's still out on that one. Soybeans, still think this is a selling opportunity. We're following a seasonal trend that's fairly well established for soybeans in years of good productions, and that's to have a rally after that October USDA report, perhaps into the end of October, early November. Typically, it doesn't last. So I'm still pretty cautious overall about the outlook, but definitely pleased that we've had this pop.
Yeah, I'd agree with what Bryce said there. I believe short-term I'd be more positive on beans than I probably was a week ago. Longer-term, I guess I'm maybe a little bit more concerned that at these price levels, we still have, I think, a lot of stocks to work through, and I think we do need to build demand. I don't want to get too excited about 1 week's worth of exports. I'd like to see that continue, and I'm not sure we can build the demand we need to build at current price levels. I guess it would be my concern looking a little bit longer term. On the corn, I think I just echo exactly what Bryce had said there. I'm still kind of, I think the jury's still out, and we're probably pretty fairly valued on corn at the time being when you look out, but I'm not sure that we get the acres that we need as we look out to next spring at these levels.
And Chip Nellinger.
Well, I was surprised by the strength of this rally here, especially in the soybean market. I don't really trust it. I think starting with the corn, the spreads haven't really moved that much, and that's telling me this is more of a corrective bounce. I don't think you can trust this longer term. Just under the historical tendency for big crops to get bigger, we've still got November and January for the USDA to ratchet yields higher. So I think you have to look at it as a selling opportunity. Beans as well. Now, the spreads are telling you in beans, the bull spreads have been working. That's telling you there's some real demand right now. I'm not so sure, however, that 80-plus percent of this hasn't been exaggerated by November bean options going off the board on Friday. And as the markets rally, that exaggerates the buying as short call holders get run out of the market. So I want to get to Monday of next week, get the November options off the board, see what the extended forecast in South America looks like. I think that will give us a little truer feel for the direction of this bean market.
Well, I have a question about the South American weather, because if you've been listening to the radio station, to the Will Ag programming for a while, you've heard many of the meteorologists talk about the weather in South America, concerns that it's been awfully dry for the growing season. And the later we've gotten into the process, the more they've turned away from the current growing season, meaning the first part of the growing season, to the second half of the growing season, or the second crop, the safrinha corn and the second crop soybeans, and being concerned that if we're behind a month by the time it gets sown, that the weather typically would turn very dry very fast just after that crop got into the ground, and it may suffer substantially. I'm wondering whether this has worked its way into the marketplace in any form yet, whether there are concerns there that producers should think about in both North and South America, and if it's something that needs to be dealt with today or that will come later to the market. And I don't know, Bryce, do you want to consider what the options might be?
Yeah, I think one thing, the delays in planting the soybean cropping is probably extending the U.S. selling season for soybeans later into the winter than it might normally go. We saw that happen last year due to the port congestion, and this year it could be just the fact that the beans aren't available. In terms of the corn, it's a long ways down the road. Most people have dialed back their corn expectations already, and heard one person from South America say today that it'll probably have a bigger impact on cotton than it will on corn.
I think that's exactly right. As far as extending the season on the selling, mean more exports out of the United States, but I guess I don't think that we're at a point at just like we'd be here if we had dry weather in the early part of the soybean planting season. I don't think that necessarily results 100% of the time in, you know, poor crop. So I think we've got some concerns, but I don't think it's, you know, critical at this point. And when you look at the amount of increased acreage in South America that the USDA has been projecting, I mean, we could have some reduction in bean acreage down there and still have a pretty sizable increase over last year's acreage.
Let's turn our attention directly to acreage, and not in South America, but here in the United States. In the October WASDE, and then in the crop production report in particular, USDA had one simple sentence that simply said, we updated on all of the best available data, or something along those lines, which told me at the time that they were unsure as to how good the data they had might be, that it was lacking, or that they simply were missing something they had in previous years. Bryce, it appears that you were at the data users group earlier in the week this week. Do you really believe that they will update in November? Did they say they would do such a thing, or are they still waiting for FSA to come out with some better figures?
Well, they'll be taking a look at the FSA data. They get that on a weekly basis, so they'll be getting that before the rest of us do. And the head of their statistics division over at NASS indicated that they would take that into account. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to change acres. And he admitted that the feedback they've been getting from the FSA is that some of the offices have been delayed in reporting due to the demands of implementing the new farm bill, particularly livestock disaster program, which involved going back as far as 3 years, and the deadline was October 1st. So if you, you know, just on the face of it, it looks like there could be another reduction, perhaps as soon as November coming. But again, the buzzword that or phrase that they use is a convergence of evidence, which means they look at a whole lot of stuff. They just don't have a black box and press a button when they put out these estimates.
So if you were a betting person, would you bet November or sometime later?
I think they'll probably make perhaps a modest adjustment in November for corn, maybe for soybeans, and then I think we'll get a somewhat larger adjustment in January. But what we may well see happen is what happened this last time, is it doesn't result in smaller crops because the actual yield goes up.
I would agree with that. I think you're probably see any significant change made in January, and I would expect that the yields will be higher. If you look historically, that is a tendency to see yields continuing to increase. So decreases in acreage will probably be somewhat offset if not totally offset by the increases in yields, I believe.
At this point, then, is everybody of the mind that the 2 billion bushel carry out for corn, the 450 million bushel carry out for soybeans, even with an acreage change, is still fundamentally where we really stand in the marketplace?
I think that's probably close to what the market was trading. I guess to add on to what Bryce was saying, though, if there was a delay for the FSA offices throughout the country, it may mean that the change isn't as great as what the market fears as far as a cut. In other words, the FSA may catch up, and the ending result may not be as big a cut in planted acreage or harvested acreage as what the market had feared. So it's frustrating to me the last couple of years why there's all these questions with FSA when it's a pretty easy fix, it would seem to me. But no, I do think we're 450 range in beans, 2 billion in corn. And as was mentioned earlier, though, demand for both corn and beans are very, very large, according to the USDA. So my fear is, if we don't see a major acreage change and yields continue to rise like they have many times in past big crop years, that increase in yield just goes right to the carryout. It's going to be hard to grow demand much more than the large numbers they have plugged in now. So that's my fear as you get into November and for sure the January report. If we do have three or four more bushels higher to go in corn yields and, you know, another bushel, give or take, in beans, it may just go right to the bottom line and tend to swell our ending stock situation.
I would agree with that. I would expect corn carry out to end up being higher in January than October, and beans probably somewhat higher.
Yeah, I don't see any big changes right now. Even though we're exporting a lot of soybeans now, Brazil's going to have a big crop unless they have bad weather. They're going to take over that summer season quickly and probably well into the fall, similar to what they did this year. So, you know, sooner or later, those beans are going to hit the market.
I guess I was thinking maybe that I heard early on in the three of you that you were on the edge, on the verge of maybe thinking, hey, this market has changed a little. But I'm not so certain after this last discussion that that's really the case, that all three of you are not, I don't want to call you bearish, but certainly not turning as friendly as I thought you might be. Is that an accurate assessment?
I would say, Todd, that just listening here as well, I think somebody, I think it was Bryce maybe, that described it, or maybe it was Chip, as far as maybe not trusting the market right now. I think money flow and, you know, fund short covering, those things have been pretty prevalent here the last 10 days in the marketplace. And I think what I hear from the other guys as well as myself is that I don't see the fundamentals have changed a lot. But it's more of a repositioning. I don't know if you guys would agree with that or not.
Yeah, you know, I think we've gotten an opportunity here, and markets never go up or down forever, and they don't do it in a straight shot. It's always pretty jagged, so you get corrections, you get bounces, and it doesn't change the overall trend. So I think it's very important for farmers not to get bullish all of a sudden and believe that we've changed the overall direction of the market, because it still doesn't look friendly.
I would second that. I think the thing in the back of my mind, the bean market has for sure rallied further than what I expected. But I don't trust it, as was said earlier. I think it is an opportunity, as Bryce said, to you know, sell some 14, get some 15 price protection locked in some way, shape, or form, especially on beans. The thing that I wonder, though, longer term is when you see a move like this, is there something we don't know? So what would be the big surprise? Bean yields aren't going up here, or there is a bigger weather problem or production problem developing in Brazil. So those are the two wild cards, but you can't predict those. So you know, as a producer, you have to still manage the risk. And if Brazil comes in with an average crop and no major production problem, then I really think that 2015 beans are as much as a dollar and a half overpriced right now. So tremendous amount of downside risk, in my opinion, in the bean market. And that kind of flows into farmers' acreage and planting decisions coming up this spring. It would favor beans heavily. And so probably beans more so than corn. I really see a lot of downside risk with a normal crop in Brazil. And that's a big if at this point, but you can't bet against an average crop there.
So if I recall, Chip, you sold across the scale for beans now. And I take it you're going to be a seller of new crop soybeans, too.
Absolutely. And we have been selling, protecting. You know, it doesn't just necessarily mean it has to be a cash sale. It can be some sort of an option strategy that lets you lock the downside in but still have some upside potential if there is further gains. But absolutely, I think you have to be looking at the potential risk in this bean market going forward. With world-ending stocks projected to be record large, and the potential that we're going to plant more acres here next spring to beans, it's a lot of risk in our opinion on the bean market right now.
Right, I think farmers really need to look at managing risk. I know they want us to tell them what the price is going to be and what it's going to do. But really, this is all about managing risk, and there's a lot of it in the market right now.
And I think when you look at the 2014 crop, we've got good yield for the most part. Not everybody does, and I certainly don't want to make that sound like everybody across the country does. I know there are some areas that don't have as good a yield, but for those that do, I think when you look at revenue, the revenue still looks pretty decent for the 2014 crop, these levels. And I don't think we want to take the risk, as Bryce said, that, we allow prices to go back down and lose that advantage that we had by having higher yields.
What might be we missing, if there is anything missing in the marketplace? For instance, is there any indication that livestock might be on the upswing, whether it be poultry or hogs, that PEDV might be abating some, that there might be more fed than expected? Is there some fundamental that is looming we just haven't picked up on yet?
I think you're really looking at just the incremental changes in demand that might be possible, at least for corn. Ethanol demand might be a little better than expected if Brazil imports more, but you're talking about 25-50 million bushels of corn, which is like 1% or 2% of carryout. And the same with livestock. You just don't grow the livestock herds very, very much, very quickly, particularly with cattle, obviously. And the exports, it's going to take a disaster someplace around the world to really jumpstart that segment, because there's plenty of other corn out there.
One thing we might be underestimating a little bit is this transportation issue, and that may be leading to part of this rally. Soy meal seems to have led the rally up here recently and drugged the beans along with it. In my mind, that's a short-term temporary issue. It is a big issue, but what it results in is nothing different. And that is, there's a large amount of stocks out there. Now, with the market's ability to access those stocks due to the rail transportation issues is a little bit messed up right now, but that doesn't mean there's any less supply out there. It's just harder to get to it. So that becomes a basis issue. But I think in the short run, that has helped us out, especially on the meal and bean equation here over the last 2-3 weeks.
I was just going to say that I think on the soybean side of it, I think that the market in general underestimated how short the market was going into the October. And if you look at the fund positions, we're still relatively short, substantially short. So that may be one thing that we're, looking at here, that, this market is still pretty much in a short position, and we could continue to see some profit taking or short covering, however you want to look at it, as we move forward in beans.
So as you look forward over the, next month, let's make it fairly short term. Is it a sideways to higher or a sideways to lower marketplace?
Well, 30 days from now, I think we'll be lower. So by the time we sit down for Thanksgiving turkey, I think prices will be lower for both corn and soybeans.
Chip?
Agree with Bryce. There may be, just based on some technical follow-through, some limited upside here over the next few trading sessions. But I think longer term, we're in a grinding sideways to lower market, maybe sharply lower in beans if down the road here South America produces a big crop.
And Bill Mayer?
I would agree that we'll be lower probably 30 days from now. I'm not sure it's going to be sideways when we think of a sideways market. I think it's going to continue to be pretty volatile, and you'll have these days where you move 25 to 30 cents in either direction. And when you look at the equities here in the last 2 weeks, I mean, that type of market, I think, is here for a little while until we see a little bit more certainty on some of these outside issues like the Ebola and the ISIS and the global economy.
Is there anything that a farmer will be able to see in the countryside, and I'll give you an example, that might give him an indication locally, if not on the national level, that the corn crop is being used at a quicker pace and might be a friendly market mover? For instance, ground piles, if they disappear by, and maybe give me a date, whether that would be by Thanksgiving or before the end of the year, does that give you pause to consider a better marketplace? Or if they're still there, does that give you the same kind of cause to consider a market that is getting weaker?
I would just say, I would probably watch the spreads in the corn market as my lead indicator as to what's going on in the cash side of things, and see how, whether we're building carry in the market any further or whether we're starting to see that narrow up.
Anybody else? And it doesn't have to be the ground piles. Is there the carry in the market, other indicators that you watch that really give you an idea of what the market is about to do?
Well, I think how fast the basis, particularly for corn, starts to recover once we get this crop harvested. Transportation costs should start to ease, and we should start to get some better bids. So it's kind of analogous to that whole question of carry. We haven't built the carry much here the past month or two in the corn market. So I think, you know, the crop is finding a home, at least so far.
Yeah, I would agree with the two comments earlier. Spreads, number one, basis, there are usually two really good tip-offs. But I'm not so sure that with these volatile moves that we've seen with the transportation issues, that we're not just a little bit out of whack, where it's not going to be like a normal year. So I don't know if there is a good indicator or something to watch, but I do think long-term, spreads and basis, spreads especially, usually tip you off. And, like I said earlier, even through this rally, there's still quite a bit of carry. You haven't lost a lot of carry in the corn market, even with a bounce. To me, that's a kind of an underlying negative feel. It's a little bit different in beans, but I think a lot of that's been the transportation issue that we've seen and the meal shortage.
What do each of you hear that farmers may be trying to do for the 2015 growing season to cut their input cost or cost in general?
Well, what we've seen is more on-farm storage of inputs, particularly fertilizer, diesel fuel, propane, so that growers can take advantage of some of the seasonal weakness that we tend to get in some of those markets and lock in their supply not only at a favorable price, but just to make sure that they actually have physical possession of the inputs. We saw that this week in diesel prices. The Group 3 price, also the Chicago diesel price, jumped something like 30 cents in just a couple days because the refineries shut down for maintenance, and also farmers started buying a lot of diesel. Now, we could see that same situation in the development fertilizer, because a lot of the fall applications just aren't going to get done, it looks like. And so if there's a real rush to buy fertilizer, the system may not be able to handle it. So I think that on-farm storage is something a lot of people are interested in.
I think fertilizer and cash rent are the two big ones. Cash rents look like they've already come down $60, $70 an acre, generally speaking. I think there may be a kind of a late rush, late meaning January, February, where we see cash rents continue to ratchet down. And I think for the most part, farmers have been really good about being very current on fertilizer. And I think there could be, no real major agronomic problems scaling that back for a season, because most people are caught up and pretty current there. So, you know, between cash rents and fertilizer, probably be able to shave $100 an acre, maybe a little more out of it, but I'm still not sure, you know, at 405 December 15 futures, if we're quite high enough to make that pencil, based on current cost structures.
I would say, Todd, fertilizer, as Summer mentioned, more efficient use of the fertilizer, I think, is probably the approach I see. The machinery may be slowed down on some of the new purchases on machinery. And I guess I've also seen that some tendency, not widespread necessarily, but there is some tendency for, you know, guys just aren't rushing out and grabbing every acre of ground that they can rent, you know, cash rent-wise. It seems like there's been a little bit more reluctancy on going out and paying some of the higher amounts.
Now let's get our final word from each of you. We'll start with Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing.
Well, I think that person with this rally here on the corn, you really need to look at, you know, the old adage of selling the carry in the market. We've got some prices up there with July corn, for example, approaching $3.90 today and about 70 cents or so above the cash prices out here in the country right now. That gives you some opportunity, and I think you need to start looking at how you're going to manage the inventory that you don't have to handle this fall that's on the farm.
Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri Marketing.
Well, I think two big things. Number one, don't get kind of caught back up with this market rally like the last 5 or 6 years have showed us, thinking that prices are going to bail us out. It's a big crop. It's different than we've seen in the last 5 or 6 years. We have to reward this rally. Keep in mind, November 1st, we don't have any downside left because crop insurance is set, and if prices set back after that, our safety net is really gone. So don't get too bowled up and reward this rally.
And we'll wrap it up with Bryce Knorr from Farm Futures Magazine.
Yeah, I like selling the carry that we have really in both corn and soybeans to take advantage of that and to wait for the basis to strengthen as it should into spring. I think that's the best way to get a good floor under that inventory. And then finally, take a look at your overall position. Most growers have made some sales at considerably higher prices, and take a look at what your overall position is. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Things aren't as doom and gloomy as perhaps we're led to believe.
Our thanks today go to our panelists, including Bryce Knorr, who's the Senior Grain Market Analyst for Farm Futures Magazine out of Chicago, Illinois, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from Champaign, Illinois, and Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. Commodity Week, of course, a production of willag.org and Illinois Public Media. We are public radio and funded in part by your donations. Visit our website and hit the Contribute Now button at the top of the page at WILLAG.org, or just call this number at 217-244-9455. Either way, make sure you let them know you're pledging in support of agriculture. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.